Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a video game journalist and a creative talk...
Nope. A creative talker.
and a creative writer talk about video games. And
I think you're getting worse at that.
It's always a mess up when I mess up. That's a sentence. We're here with our special guest.
When you die, you die.
I would like to introduce you to Justine, a creative writer. How are you, Justine? Thank you for being on my show.
You're welcome. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad you could be here and meet us, me and my co-host here.
Oh.
What should we call you?
Call me Luke Thomas.
Okay.
I'm going by that now.
Okay. It's my new thing. I'm going by my name.
Yes, we have our guest Luke here. I know him as a video editor. Is that a fair thing to call you?
Yeah, I dabble in a lot of things, but I feel like if anybody who doesn't know me as a person knows me on the internet, that probably about sums
up
what I
do. Do you want us to say your handle?
If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at DaThings, and I've got a YouTube channel that I run called DaThings1, where I make, YouTube poops. Weird little remix things.
I always read it as Da Things.
Yeah, funny enough, that's how I thought of it at first.
Yeah.
And eventually enough people just casually said Da Things, and I was like, alright, sure.
Okay.
That's it now.
Urbanize it.
And also a slightly more professional sounding and looking YouTube channel with one episode on it right now called Luke at This, which is a much better name.
Oh yeah, I forgot Luke at This.
Yeah. But yeah, that's me, and I watched all that awkwardness in the intro happen. Before my very eyes.
Oh.
You're so visceral now.
That's our charm. What do you mean awkward?
I mean, I was giggling to myself the whole time.
So, that's my secret, Captain. We're talking about...
You're always awkward?
I'm always awkward,
okay,
yes.
I missed it.
I gotta explain that joke. So, today we're talking about the Paper Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, we got a bit of news. I've been stressed all morning from news. So, I'm going to start with the oldest and make my way forward. There's going to be a sequel to Super Seducer.
I don't know anything about Super Seducer. Fill me in.
Okay, you missed out on some fun a few months ago. There was a game that released by a, air quotes, acclaimed relationship guru?
Doesn't everyone think they're that?
Who?
I super am.
He's a pickup artist.
Okay.
He's this guy who made a living by making these pickup artist videos. And he decided he's going to make a game about it. And he called it Super Seducer. And the idea was you would go through these scenarios and you'd select how you react. And you'd say, no, don't do that because this. You want to do this because that. And it would be things like, if you're walking down the street and you want to start up a conversation with this woman, make sure you stand directly in front of her.
Isn't this basically MTV's The Pickup Artist?
Yes, but in video game form. Okay. And it's even full motion video. Full motion?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, it's live action video, too.
Oh,
yeah.
It's beautiful. And a lot of people just called it, yeah, kind of the scummiest game on the internet. And it was. It was so bad.
That does sound really
awkward.
Bad, but also, like, probably a great one to, like, turn on at a party. Just like, hey, guys, check this
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And there was a humor to it, too, because there's the obvious wrong answer. And watching those play out is just hilarious. Almost satirical. Still gross, but it was close. Well, they're making a sequel. They said that they've learned from the first game, and they're making an effort to make this one more inclusive.
I was going to say, is this a self-aware sequel?
I don't know.
I really hope so.
Well, saying we've learned from the first one tells me it's not self-aware.
They're saying they're going to make an effort to be more inclusive, so they're adding a female protagonist. So now you can be a woman. Now you can be a woman using pickup lines on men. And I want to say it's more self-aware, because one of the clips you see in the trailer is a woman pulling out a tape measure, and then going down underneath, getting ready to just measure a dude's business.
Hell yes.
That's
and the guy's
funny.
Like, hey, whoa, stop that.
No, please tell me that's the correct answer.
I wish it I don't know. The game's not out yet. It comes out.
The correct answer.
Yeah, that is the correct answer.
I think it comes out September. I can't recall when.
Okay.
Next bit of news. Fallout 76 is not on Steam. Nor do they intend to be.
Hmm.
They have decided that, at launch, Fallout 76 for PC is only going to be available on the Bethesda launcher.
I mean, that makes sense.
I think that's what BioWare does. You can only get their stuff off Origins.
And, well...
Oh, no, you can get...
That's EA doing that, though.
Can't you get, like, Mass Effect? No, maybe I'm wrong.
I have no idea. But the biggest presumed reason is because then they don't have to pay that cut percent that Steam takes on sales. They can just break it all in straight for themselves. Similar to how Epic Games... This is not on my list, but I'll bring this bit of news up. The Fortnite for Android game is not on the Play Store.
Hmm.
It's on their own website, and they ask you to like disable your third-party prevention thing. Ooh. And then install it from their website.
That's fun.
That is dangerous.
That's fun.
You are going to get viruses and scams and all sorts of stuff generated.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Like, for Fallout on PC, I get it, because there's a Bethesda launcher. It's not as easy. There's one way to get this game, and it's not off of a website.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about a game like Fortnite, primarily younger audiences saying, hey, download this third-party thing past your security.
Yeah. Hey, ooh, we have this giant wooden horse. We know it would look really great on your phone. You could please just put those gates down, and here you go!
So, last bit of news. Super Smash Bros. Direct happened today. Hoo boy, indeed!
You would not believe the steps I took to stop to not spoil myself during work today.
Hoo boy, Justine had to watch it twice today.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I showed my roommate it later. Because I wanted to see his reactions, because they did. So have
you a lot of yelling.
Seen the direct now? You're
yes,
all caught up.
Yes, I am up to date.
So anyone, this comes out on Friday, so hopefully anyone listening will have heard of this news by now. So Simon Belmont is in the game,
mm-hmm.
finally. I'm not surprised, but I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
not at all surprised, but a little.
Luigi died. And
that, so
that's
sad.
What everyone's talking about.
Well, when I watched, you heard me the first time we watched, I was like, you just killed Luigi!
And I love that, and since this is same day as that direct happening, Nintendo actually put out a little, like,
sad,
statement thing saying, don't worry, Luigi's fine.
Yeah,
because, yeah, like, all of these announcements and everyone's talking about Luigi dying. So there's a lot of things that happened in this direct. I'm just going to list off a few major important ones, not this whole paper.
I was about to say.
Krom is an Echo Fighter.
Woo.
Dark Samus is an Echo Fighter.
Yay.
There will be 103 different stages.
Mm-hmm.
You can disable stage hazards. Very excited about that one. Stages can morph into different stages.
Which is weird, but I
love
it.
That so one.
I
love the random option. Just whenever!
I like it because then, like, if you're doing a 1v1, both players basically get to choose which one they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you just swap between it. Final Smash charging. And like a Final Smash meter.
Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting. Squad Strike, Smash Down. Classic Mode returns. Zero, Knuckles, Crystal, and Shovel Knight are confirmed assist trophies.
Yeah, Shovel Knight in particular makes me really happy.
Well, me too, because like, him slapping people with a shovel is my favorite thing to watch.
I'm waiting for everyone to be upset about he's not a fighter.
Well, technically.
Well, I mean, there are a few, but I think by and large, like, you don't really have indie icons in the game in any other capacity other than, like, a couple of trophies. Mm-hmm.
The fact that there's, you know, an indie character in a Smash Bros. Is still incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The Moon is an
the
trophy.
Moon.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
A Rathalos from Monster Hunter appears in the game. That one took me by surprise.
It's both a boss and a trophy.
Trophy. Which makes me wonder, is it a boss in classic mode, or is there perhaps an adventure mode that they've not said?
Who can say?
And last bit, where they get you with that double juke King K. Rool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That was good.
The emotions I was feeling.
I know that there is a lot to talk about, and if you get me talking in earnest about Smash Brothers, I will never stop, but my very broad sort of impression of this entire direct, like, in terms of characters, like, they're not from series that, like, I really like for the most part, so, like, it's pretty weak for me personally in that department, but just all the quality of life stuff that they talked about and, like, the assist trophies and the Pokemon and stuff, that's all really exciting to me.
The training stage and, like, it shows projectiles, they added a lot of...
Getting rid of the objects in the...
Hazards?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, the stage hazards. I would have never thought of such a setting, but I'm so happy they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm going to call this?
What?
Nintendo Polish.
Yep.
Here we go.
I love bringing up Nintendo Polish.
It is,
because it's got so much of that.
The Smash Bros. Series is the epitome of Nintendo Polish.
Yeah. And then, they trick you with King Dedede in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, because he's voiced by Sakurai.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Kirby franchise is his baby. That was absolutely him laughing at it.
Yeah.
So
we
good.
We might have to invite you back when we do Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah, that'd be... I'd be excited.
Sneak peek, listeners. We're waiting until December for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Closer to the launch of the game.
Sensible.
That is it on news, I believe. We have Paper Mario.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're a big fan of Paper Mario, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. I played the first game, the 64 game, as a kid way too many times. Probably more times than most people ever play a single-player game that they like. To the point where I practically have it memorized. Maybe not, like, all the text in the game, but all the things you can do, everything you can unlock, everywhere you can go. Like, I've got it all in my head.
You can play it in your head when you're bored
at
work.
I can play it in my head.
I just realized you're wearing a Mario t-shirt.
Yeah, that wasn't really on purpose, but yeah. It's,
really? I thought you dressed for the occasion. No. Like, I'm so excited. I'm going to be on my favorite podcast.
I can't wait for the listeners to see my new shirt.
Yeah.
No, cool. But, yeah, the 64 game has a very special place in my heart, in particular. And the GameCube game, which I feel like just improved on everything. Like,
wow.
I didn't play it as much, but I still played a ton of that one. And it really holds up incredibly well, even today.
I agree. My experience is the opposite in that I'm most familiar with Thousand-Year-Old Door,
mm-hmm.
but not the first one. Does it have a subtitle?
The first one's just Paper Mario.
Okay, that would explain why I couldn't remember.
Is there just two of them, or how many are there?
Well, that's
like four or five now, right?
There are five titles in the Paper Mario series, but those first two are very different from the rest. Reason being that they were made with this sort of... simplified RPG engine, so you have these turn-based battles, and you've got yourself and a partner who you can swap out doing damage to a bunch of enemies on screen and trying to take them out strategically. And for the Wii, the game Super Paper Mario came out.
Which is my first Paper Mario game.
Yeah, and that one wasn't bad. The community is kind of divided on whether or not they think it's like a quote-unquote true Paper Mario game, because it shares a lot of elements with that first one, but it's not turn-based anymore.
Okay.
You're jumping on things and throwing things at them.
Okay.
They got entirely rid of the turn-based combat, which a lot of people like think is essential to an RPG. And
to be fair, I think they did a really good job, but it's just like that mixed with the fact that they made it 2D for most of the game, and it's a lot more focused on puzzle solving using that gimmick as opposed to the sort of like, I don't know, I want to say more like common natural like dungeon puzzling, I guess, that the first two games had.
I can agree with that.
Are you telling me the first two games were not 2D?
No, they were 3D, and all of the character sprites, that was why it was called Paper Mario, because they were, like, in a 3D little world, but the character sprites were all 2D, and if you would turn them around, you would see their thin side for a second,
gotcha.
So they all looked like they were made of paper.
See, that's what confused me for a second, because I was like, you're telling me a game called Paper Mario is not in 2D?
And it was fun, because a lot of the special abilities you'd get would play on the fact that you're 2D in a 3D world. Like, you could flip through the a sewer grate by flipping sideways and poop down.
So Paper Mario is just full on flat Stanley the video game.
I have no frame of reference for that.
Oh, y'all don't know flat Stanley.
Okay, I suppose.
I'll have to look that up.
Reference for one.
Man.
After that came out, several years later, they came out with a 3DS game called Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Yeah.
And that one...
I heard about that one.
Yeah, it basically abandoned everything like that was in the previous games in terms of how you fight things, how you solve puzzles, how you progress, and even its design and the characters and things. It just wasn't... It was a lot more linear. It was not a fleshed-out world.
Mm.
It still had some of the funny dialogue and things, which the series was also kind of known for. But it really just fell flat in everything that really made the first two so special and replayable. And the third one to a point. And then to sort, and I feel like as far as the fan base is concerned, the sort of final nail in the coffin is the most recent game for the Wii U called Paper Mario Color Splash. And in that one I haven't actually played myself, but I understand there are a lot of things where you have this, like, paint bucket partner with you, and color is being, like, sucked away from the world, and you have to put it back, which sounds great, but...
Sounds like Epic Mickey.
They turn it into this thing where you do your attacks with these cards you collect, rather than Mario always being able to jump or always being able to hammer things.
Okay, now we're in Kingdom Hearts.
Right. It's a mess. It was not reviewed well.
What's Disney doing? Let's do that.
I think it was one of the unfortunate instances of Nintendo trying to be innovative and it not working.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just named two other games.
Yeah, and I think that the ones you talked about, like especially like Kingdom Hearts, mm-hmm. Does what it does really well and sort of kept what worked for that series strong. Whereas with Paper Mario, at a certain point, Nintendo kind of decided that they would use that series as like a, I don't want to say as a sandbox, but they would try.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they would like employ gimmicks into the Paper Mario games to see
how they worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, like.
If you're going to do it with any, I mean.
If it weren't for the fact that the first two were so hyper well reviewed and well regarded and worked really well on their own, and the fact that they haven't followed it up with much similar other than the handheld Mario and Luigi series, which is like, you know, it has a lot in common, but they're not quite the same. I don't know. There's just something about those two that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. But everything is subjective. If you enjoy those games, that is not a problem.
Yeah.
Unless it's Sticker Star.
We don't abide this in this house.
Yeah, and because like, I like Super Paper Mario.
Oh, yeah.
And it's purely because I didn't know that it was supposed to be a certain way.
Right.
So I had none of that, like, oh, this isn't right sensation going on. I'm like, oh, this is a cool little adventure game
with
Mario. That's
exactly how I got, like, my sister will complain and complain about games that I personally, they're, like, my favorites because they end up being the sequels to, you know, whatever game that she does like. And she's like, well, they're not finished and they're not as well done and everything, but I played those instead. Like, I just happened to, so then, you know, nostalgia and stuff plays into it, and I experienced that first, so that's my jumping off point. I can see where you're getting that.
Mm-hmm. Got that good, blissful ignorance.
Yes.
Funny enough, I never actually beat Super Paper Mario.
Oh,
I think I still have it around here somewhere.
It's got a strong story.
I love the story, you know, what I did experience of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people will criticize the gameplay day and night, and, you know, that's their own prerogative. But, yeah, I feel like it had a really wild and funny and well-pieced-together story. And it was a lot more meta than the other games, just in terms of, like, being self-aware about, like, who Mario is and who the other characters are. Although the other games did do plenty of that, Super Paper Mario really, like, took it to the next level. And it was basically, like, it was almost a satire of itself.
What awesome. I didn't like, though, was the design of your companions.
Because
in the previous games, they were actual, like, Mario entities. There were Goombas, there were Koopas, you know, ghost people. Whereas in Super Paper Mario, they were basically just neon lights.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And I guess they were, like, their own special race of sprites or something.
Yeah, pixels, I think, is what they were called.
Yeah,
pixels without the E.
And they function the same way in that, you know, they all have special abilities to help you in your travels, but I wanted to look at something that wasn't line art.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's an old game, it's far too late to
and
it, play
And
now.
It's kind of like, and one thing I really appreciate about the first handful of games is the writing, and your partner characters, like you mentioned, like they're Baboms, they're Koopas, they're Goombas, they're like sort of these... I want to say monster races that exist in Mario that you know, but like they're friendly and they all have personalities and they're constantly talking to each other and to you and to the other characters throughout the game. So you really like get a great sense of like who they are as characters. And that's great. The pixels in Super Paper Mario, they show up, they have a scene or two to themselves when you acquire them. And then after that, they say nothing.
Mm.
Exactly. I can tell you exactly why I hate Goombario. I can't even tell you the name of any of the pixels.
Right. Mm. I only remember one, and it was Thoreau, which I thought was cute because you throw him.
Oh, nice.
I remember that one.
Is there still... You can Can you still play the first two games?
Yes, you can. Okay. They are both, I think, yeah, The Thousand Year Door is a GameCube game, so I don't think they've ported it over to any newer systems, so you'd have to play it on its original. But I know Paper Mario for the 64 is on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Then there's Super Paper Mario was on the Wii, and like I said, I have it around here somewhere, and I remember I thought, I had this really tiny TV, and it was like a 6-inch diagonal screen. And it was black and white, and I thought it'd be funny if I played a game on it. So I hooked up my Wii, and I started playing Super Paper Mario, forgetting that the last puzzle I was at is hit the right blocks in the right order by color. So I'm like, ah, good, I get to figure out what shade of... And, like, I didn't realize that was the puzzle because it was black and white. So I was just running around going, I don't understand, how do I solve this puzzle?
That's really funny.
Because I insisted on playing on a very tiny, colorless screen. But speaking of characters, there's a character from the first Paper Mario that I wanted to tell Justine about because I think she would get a kick out of the name. And it is...
I'm listening.
It is your, I'm going to have him tell you.
Okay.
It is the star person from the first game.
Oh, yeah.
What is that character called?
His name is Twink.
Oh my god, I can see exactly why they did that, but oh my god.
He's just this little star kid.
Yeah, he's just a little star. Oh my get it, but like, it wasn't a common term back then, I don't think.
Oh my god. You Twinks want the next bar over.
And I'm bitter about Twink because I really...
Are you bitter about Twinks?
Yes. Because I...
Very different kind of
it's
podcast.
Not gonna, this is not gonna stop. You've been unleashed the beast.
It doesn't help that my next sentence, because I really wanted to cover one.
Uh-huh.
No, because I really liked...
But they wouldn't let you.
I liked his theme song. Uh-huh. That's a hard one to say. I did, but it was in 3/4 time. And
you
as
can't do 3/4 time?
I couldn't convert it to... I didn't want to do 3/4, because I wanted it in, like, a techno style.
Do a techno waltz.
A techno waltz? No.
Man, that's more music theory than I'm familiar with.
Not no Lindsey Stirling type of stuff going
God.
On.
Oh my god. What are you? She's on violin.
Yeah, but she's waltzy and has techno elements. She comes up on my dubstep station. Don't tell me she ain't electronic in any sense.
But waltzy?
I don't know. She probably has. She has a violin. That's a waltz instrument.
I guess. But that's not all it plays.
What was it that you tried to do with Twink's theme again?
I tried to make a remix of it, and I couldn't get it into 4/4 time well enough without making it sound weird, so I just gave up.
Yeah, because it's in 3/4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I think it's been long enough since you tried that I can just tell you straight out, it wasn't good.
I know it wasn't good. I tried, and every time it would get worse.
I cannot wait for my music major friend to listen to this episode. She's just gonna be screaming at you.
Not that hard.
No, not even not that hard. She's gonna be like, you can't. You just don't.
Totally could.
Okay.
I wanted to believe it was possible.
If you believe hard enough.
Do you have a... Oh, speaking of characters you might be interested in, I don't remember if I've told you about Vivian.
No.
Vivian is a... Ghost?
Yeah, she's like a purple ghost being.
Some
thing.
Kind of like spooky.
Not
entity.
Not a boo. Is not to be confused with the boo.
Is she the one with like the
massive gazongas?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
Which one is that?
That was a.
Yeah, that's Flurry, and we're not Flurry. Sure. Okay. We're not sure what Flurry is.
I almost called her Blowy, and I figured that was correct.
Oh no!
Because her power in the game is to
I'm sure.
blow air.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yep.
But no, Vivian, all she's right. kind of like this purple spectre.
What is wrong with Mario?
Oh, those games are something else, man.
Yeah.
In the Japanese lore of this game, Vivian is trans.
Oh, okay.
Which...
I think I did know about this one. Not from you. I think I saw something.
Yeah, and this game came out in, what, 2004?
Yeah.
So, I guess, surprising
Pretty
from a game of that time. Yeah. But then there's Goombario. God, I hate Goombario.
He is pretty boring.
He's boring, he's a poser, he's like, in the beginning of The Incredibles, remember Billy?
Oh, yeah.
The little kids are like, I want to be like you too, and he's like getting in the way
Buddy?
And making... Buddy? See? I don't even remember his name.
You
because he's
Mr.
just
Incredible.
Like Goombario. Goombario is a tiny mushroom version
are
of Buddy.
Are you telling me the antagonist of the entire Incredibles movie was boring?
Well, he grew up to be interesting, and even, and I will say this much, you know, to
Goombario
to Goombario's discredit, that that buddy, you know, at least like there is a sort of conflict that comes out of that, whereas Goombario just has this attitude and everyone's like, yeah, great, cute kid, right? And like he's just he just keeps that attitude the whole time. There's no like.
Can someone tell me what a Goombario is?
That's the thing. You want to know why his name's Goombario?
Because he's a Goomba Mario?
Because he's a Goomba, and he really wants to be like Mario.
He was named after Mario. That's if we're getting technical, that's
technical.
The lore.
Named after.
His parents revered Mario enough, they were like, let's name our son Goombario.
How old? Like, what do you think Goomba years are?
Ooh.
Because if he's apparently...
Probably not long.
He's old enough to go
adventuring. Well, if Mario's in the house, that's a safe assumption.
I know they can. I know they can look old because his grandpa, whose name is Goompa,
Goompa!
definitely has some wrinkles and some.
Yeah, there's definitely old Goombas.
Goompa Loompas.
Apparently, this one's young enough to be named after Mario, but old enough to go fight alongside him.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I don't like Goombario. Goombella is so much better.
Yeah.
Who's Goombella?
So, the Goomba
of the other game.
A tiny bit of background. Goombario is the first companion you get in the first game.
Okay.
And Goombella is the first companion you get in the second game. Functionally, they're very similar. They wanted to have a character who will tell you, who will spend a turn in combat telling you about enemies so you can, like, see their health and how strong they are and stuff. So they function the same way, but Goombella, just in her writing, is a lot more compelling of a character.
Mm-hmm. So that was all that Goombario was. It was just like, I want to be like you, and then nothing ever came
and
of that.
And then follows you the rest of the game, and doesn't change.
Okay.
So before we go on, we should probably hit over to our ad break.
Okay.
It will be a night forever written in time. Welcome to the Glitz Pit.
Glitz Pit. One of us is walking out of here with the belt, and the other one's getting rock!
I'm King K, man! I'm just a bush league scrub like you!
King K, scrub.
Lenny Adam, we're gonna take these punks one at a time.
This will be the greatest event in live entertainment!
Live entertainment!
The Glitz Pit!
Glitz Pit!
I got some fantastic funk that's going to go on with that. It's going to be beautiful.
Good.
Did you plan that?
No.
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 That was pretty good.
I just kind of jumped in.
That was good. I liked it.
Because I know that, like, WWE-style ads have, like, another voice echoing things for some reason.
Yeah. Commercials with hype men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it.
Well, yeah, so, speaking of getting rocked.
Oh, God.
In the second game, there is, you have to go through a, wrestling type story arc, and one of the bad guys in it, a heel as they call them, is a guy called Rock Hawk.
Rock Hawk.
Gotta be careful how you say
Rock
that.
Rock Hawk.
I said that Rock Hawk.
I say it very slowly, for purpose reasons, and
we're not gonna censor this one.
Oh no,
maybe we should
because we're saying Rock Hawk.
We are, but it would be really funny to censor it.
I've been clean this whole time.
We censor out the Goombario. I looked into this. Apparently, America is the only like place that has that name style for him.
Hmm.
I think it was in France, or maybe it was Germany. He has the name Hawk Hogan.
Oh, that's
referencing
cute.
Hulk Hogan. I thought that was fitting.
Which is much, much more innocent than Rock Hawk.
And apparently everywhere else on the localization, he's some variation of, like, Gold and Hawk.
Hmm. Okay.
So only in America is he the Rock Hawk. Everywhere else, he's a Gold Hawk.
Well, that's what America's all about, you know.
Dwayne the Hawk Johnson.
Dwayne the Hawk Johnson!
So, I lost my train of thought. I was too busy
thinking
about
that's exactly who he is. He's just, you know...
He's whatever your favorite pro wrestler is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I see
you
it.
You think they're all the same?
Yeah.
Wow. Stereotypical much?
Pro wrestlers are not a race.
I didn't say racism.
I suppose that's fair.
One thing I really liked about the chapter where he appears is that for most of the Paper Mario games up to that point, like which is to say for the duration of them, you're going through and you have, like, a little world that you have to travel through and solve some puzzles, and it's, like, kind of linear-ish, and you're fighting enemies along the way because they're blocking your path. Whereas in this one, you're getting all of that story in the middle of you trying to rise through the ranks in this competition. So the combat you're getting is very organic. It's very just, like, you know, now you this is your next fight. You have to do an after so many. There will be a break where you do some story stuff and then come back.
Cool.
Yeah, and, like, it allowed you to introduce new concepts that could wildly be unrelated. Like, now there's suddenly chain chomps, and now this guy's in a suit of armor and whatnot. And they even force you to go out and find a solution to this guy that you cannot beat.
Nice.
I'm a sucker for the arena arcs of games.
Yeah.
We talked about in the Jade Empire episode, that was sort of how they structured it there, is like, you're most of the way through the game, but you have all of these abilities stacked up now, and this is an opportunity to use them and test them out in the arena while still progressing the story in a way.
Yeah, for sure. And the arena, actually, once you beat the Glitz Pit in the Thousand Year Door, you can actually go back to it and redo it at any point.
Yeah, because they say awesome. That, like, hey, if you ever want to fight again, you know, your spot's always open.
Yeah.
I love that.
And what I like even more than that, because, like, that's around, like, third chapter or so in the story, so if you've, like, beaten the game and then go back to do it, it's going to seem really easy.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that is difficult no matter when you try it is the Pit of 100 Trials.
That's right, the pit.
Yeah, it is probably my favorite thing about that game, and a lot of other video games have sort of similar challenges, but it's totally optional, and you jump into a pipe and it takes you down to this level where there's like a little like Goomba running around and you beat him. Then you go to the next level and there's like maybe two Goombas or like a Koopa or just like some weak enemies, but they keep getting stronger as you go.
Yeah.
And every like 10 levels or so you get an item and they're ones that you can only find in there. And yeah, there are 100 of these rooms, and by the time you're in the last one, you fight a boss.
By the time you get to the bottom, you've saved up $5,000, right?
I mean, you'll have a lot of coins. You will make bank if you're not wasting your money.
It's Paper Mario Hammer Watch.
Almost. If the stages in Hammer Watch were just like individual little like battles, then yeah. But by the time you get to the very end, you end up in a fight that stat-wise is tougher than the game's final boss, of the story. So I like that because you can go back and, you know, grind for levels after you've beaten the game, which also they have a post-game thing. It doesn't just cut off where the credits roll and then you load back up. It's
you gotta have that post-game stuff.
Yeah.
It's not the same otherwise.
But it's still a challenge no matter when you try it. And, like, you can go in at earlier levels and, like, try to get some of that sweet loot and bring it back, but you're gonna die a lot if you try doing that. And you can't save in the middle.
I was about to say, so, like, this thing you have to do all in one go.
Mm-hmm.
And
it can take, like, 2 or 3 hours to get through the whole thing. Yeah.
Did they have this in the first Paper Mario?
Nope.
Okay. Because I vaguely recall watching you. You were doing a live stream of, like, the 100 pit trial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With, what was it like? You had a heart restriction, I think?
Yeah. So when you start Paper Mario, and, you know, I think it's the first or second game, but when you start, you have 10 health points. They just give you that. That's what you work with, and you level up, and you gain them. There are ways in the game to change your stats around, and after you reach a certain point, you can actually trade some of your, like, heart points for badge points, and I'll get to badges in a second. But I did that run with the restriction of Mario only has 5 health points, less than you start the game with, and I had to go through the whole thing without dying.
Did you?
I did make it through the whole thing.
Oh my god!
I watched. It was impressive.
Yeah, and I was. I put up a highlight reel. You can find that.
Oh, awesome! I'm gonna go look that up.
Yeah, you can find that on YouTube. And I'm really happy with how that highlight reel turned out.
If we remember, we'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will make sure you get that. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun, and it kind of shows that there is a lot of fun to be had even after all of this time beyond just playing the game again and beating it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are things you can do to keep it fun and keep it interesting, and the only way that it was really feasible for me to go through that challenge with that handicap was the use of badges, which is my probably single favorite aspect about these first two games is that you collect items that heal you and items that restore your, like, flower points, which are, like, your mana or whatever. But you also find these badges, which you only have so many that you can equip. They all take up a certain number of, like, badge points. And they will give you either special attacks you can do or passive abilities or change things around. Some of them are purely aesthetic. Like, there's...
change the sound effects.
Yeah, change the sound effects. Change Mario's clothes.
Yeah, one of them just makes you look like Luigi.
Yeah. And there's another one that makes you look like Wario, and if you put both of them on, you look like Waluigi.
That's that Nintendo polish.
That's that Nintendo polish.
I had forgotten. My dear Luigi.
Oh my god.
But using, they made it in-depth enough that there's so much fun in sort of creating a build for your character using the badges you've collected and using up those points. And unlike a lot of other RPGs where, like, you put points into different stats and they're there forever. And if you want to try a different build, you have to start all over and, like, go forward with that goal in mind. With badges, you can swap them out anytime.
Oh, yeah.
So if you decide it's not really feasible for me to do this defense build against a thing that's going to eat right through that, then you can just be like, well, I guess I shouldn't have these badges on and I should put these ones on instead. Hmm. And there's a lot of them, but it's not so many that it's overwhelming either. I feel like they really struck that balance.
Yeah, especially, like, I mean, I'm going back to Jade Empire again. There's a lot of similarities here.
Sure.
I wonder if they inspired BioWare, but...
still our most popular episode.
Well, you have an amulet where you can put gems in, and the gems do different stuff. You still have your stats that you put points into as you level up. I figured this was Jade Empire's way of doing, quote-unquote, your armor and accessories and things. But, it gets to the point where you have, like, 100 of these gems if you don't sell them, but... depending on what you like to do in the game, you can filter those out pretty good. Just be like, yeah, I'm not ever going to use these.
Sure, yeah.
Not going to use any intimidation ones, not going to use any of that stuff. So I can see where, like, that would be really convenient, but, you know, regards to, like, this is never going to get used, and you don't have to worry about this, so you just narrow it down to, like, 20 of them that you can cycle through.
Yeah, that kind of thing has always been really, really fun to me, and I think that Thousand Year Door... did it best.
Play this game.
And that, you know, maybe that's low-key one of the reasons that a bunch of people are still salty about Super Paper Mario is there's no badges in that one.
Yeah, yeah. These aren't badges, these are items, but I want to play this little game with you.
Okay.
I'm going to list...
Your games are always so successful.
Aren't they? I'm going to list three items. I want you to guess which one is not an actual Paper Mario item.
All right. Okay?
This will be good.
So there is Sleepy Sheep... Bouncy Boy, and Mr. Softener.
Currently it's between Bouncy Boy and Mr. Softener because, okay, the latter, like, for real. But the Bouncy Boy, I think it's Bouncy Boy.
You're right, yeah, it's a fake one. Right.
Because Bouncy it had boy in it, and I know you.
That's true.
I like B words.
I thought you were going to say, I like boy.
Hey, I like him bouncy. I live in my truth.
That's why you wanted to write, you know, do the twink song.
The twink.
Oh,
just
Lord.
Take a sip of my drink. But
for real, Sleepy Sheep and Mr. Softener are my two favorite items. Mr. Softener.
I heard that and I was like, that's awful. And of course Nintendo did it. Yeah.
Because it lowers your enemy's defense. It softens them.
Yeah.
And it's just this pink little worm-looking thing with a tiny face.
Yeah.
I don't know what he is.
There's also a mini Mr. Mini, who's a little blue dude who shrinks them. So they're easier to hit. Or, well, not easier to hit, but their attack power is lowered. That's what it does.
I want to play this game.
It's so cute. It's so fun.
You know what my favorite thing was about Paper Mario as a whole?
Sure.
I like how it actually kind of showed you that Bowser is, in fact, a man of... significant power and position. He is a king. He has castles. He has armies. He has servants. Like, I like that they actually showed that.
Yeah. But
like, he walks out of his door to room, and, like, you see a bunch of Koopas going, oh, yes, good sir, and, like, of course, Mr. Bowser, and stuff like that. I like that.
And what I absolutely love about that is while you see much more of that than you do in, like, the main Mario storyline, you also see Bowser's personality very differently. It's almost like that power is wasted on him in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's so, like, snarky and just cranky all the time, and he just, like, you know, he's always, like, calling people losers and stuff.
Like the Burgermeister Meisterburger from Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you just said.
Have you never seen Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
No, what is...
All right, we're going to have to watch that this Christmas.
What is it?
It's a really old Christmas movie that's sort of... I wouldn't say claymation, but it is, like, sort
of figurines. I think if you saw a picture of the character, you would recognize it.
But he's, like, the fat, like, guy in charge of the German town, and he's the Burgermeister, and his name is Meisterburger.
Mm-hmm. Meisterburger, Burgermeister.
Burgermeister, Meisterburger.
Burgermeister, Meisterburger.
And he's the one that doesn't let the children of the town have any toys.
Okay.
Because he's mean.
But yeah, he's just... Bowser's a lot like that. He's just like...
Bowser doesn't let the children have any toys.
Because
he slipped on one and broke his leg.
Oh, of course.
Princess Peach gets kidnapped by Bowser in the first game, and he's a little more, you know, what you'd expect. In the second game, she's kidnapped by someone else.
Oh, yeah.
And he throws a hissy fit over it.
Aww.
And is like, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Why is she so kidnappable?
I don't know, man.
Is it like... The sport in that world is, like, who can capture Peach the best.
I will say, when Bowser does it, he usually doesn't have a very good reason.
He's just correct. Because...
When Grotus does it.
Grotus is a fantastic sounding name.
Right.
I think he's a robot.
Yeah, he's like a...
He looks like a robot.
Whatever he is,
there's
some mechanical stuff going there for sure.
There's a beep booper too.
But when he kidnaps Princess Peach, it's because of, and you know, spoiler warning for a game that's 14 years old. He is trying to awaken this 1,000-year-old demon and use Peach as a vessel.
Oh,
and
so we're doing some demon summoning around here. Interesting.
Yeah. So he has a very specific reason for kidnapping Peach. In particular.
That's a quick about face for the Mario franchise.
Yeah. It's another reason why I like it so much. It's got some depth where the main Mario series lacks.
Yeah.
And it has
depths
a
of hell, apparently.
And it has a Peach shower scene.
Are you...
It's completely behind a shower curtain.
It has a shower scene of the Nintendo
There's no silhouette or anything.
Why?
Well, because she's kidnapped, and I guess she has free range of, like, the place, so she goes and she... You can just take a shower if you want, and then her hair's all up in a bun.
It's okay. Actually used to sort of creep you out, like, strategically, I think. Like, that scene happens, like, after she sort of, like, wakes up in this facility. She has no idea where she is, but she has, like, a bed and a bathroom. And
I so see. She's like, why does she have these humanizing, pleasantries?
So it's supposed to be the sort of casual thing where you go in there and she's like, well, I might as well clean myself up. So she goes behind the shower curtain. You see her, like, dress flip up over the top and then come back down and she changes. And when she gets out, she meets this computer named Tech. He is like, I've been watching your every move. And you as a player are like, I just showered.
Wait a minute.
I believe later in the point game, there's a part where you drink an invisibility potion.
Did you say later in the point?
In the point game.
Yeah, okay.
That you drink an invisibility potion as Peach so you can sneak around. And of course, you have to get naked for it.
Oh yeah. My god.
Like, does it make your clothes invisible?
Nope.
Can we just, like...
You still have a shadow, though.
For once, have an invisibility potion that you just pour on yourself... So that there's none of this, oh, you have to strip.
You have
to be invisi-naked.
Invisi-naked. Speaking of Grotus.
Okay.
And me badly covering songs, I did cover a Paper Mario song.
Oh,
was
yes.
it in 3-4?
No.
Okay.
Was it Lord Crump's
It
theme?
Was Lord Crump's battle tune. Mm-hmm. And I love it because I used the Amen break inside of it, and I did a bunch of glitch hop stuff in it. It's not a good song.
Can you crump to it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Crump goes hubba a lot, I guess.
Okay. I just had no idea. You just had, like, a stroke.
I think it's just him laughing like a guttural laugh, like, hub, hub, hub.
Oh.
But I just perceive it as every so often he sticks his neck out and goes, hub, hub, hub.
Here comes another Chinese earthquake.
Everything in the games is written out in text bubbles, so they tried to, like, imitate that sound approximately with letters, and it's just kind of weird to read.
Yeah.
My car won't start.
Yeah, everybody talks in those speech bubbles except for Mario, who just kind of lets out these "oh" kind of sounds every now and again. Woohoo!
Ah, this is all my dialogue. I'm sorry.
He's otherwise a silent protagonist.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's the only one who's exactly the same in Paper Mario as he is in his regular games. He's just there. He's the hero. He's happy to help.
He's the audience surrogate.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
The audience surrogate. Mm-hmm. He's the everyman. Overalls.
They have a train, a whodunit train mystery, too. I like that.
I love that one.
It's such a cliche, but I just get a kick out of it whenever games have a train mystery. Any game.
Do we need to wrap up?
Or? I mean, I'm all out of topics, I think.
Are you out of topics?
I suppose so. I guess we've all got our fingers crossed for the future of the series because, you know, I described Paper Mario Color Splash as being the final nail in the coffin, so to speak. But with Nintendo's attitude recently with sort of revamping the Zelda series, making a new Smash Brothers game that is leaps and bounds more content heavy than the one prior.
Just more.
Yeah, with them porting over the definitive Mario Kart, making a, you know, nice, fleshed-out Splatoon game, but they're really, like, making things so much easier and player-focused and really listening to their feedback a lot more than before. And so with this attitude, all of us OG Paper Mario fans are crossing our fingers that maybe this means they'll make another RPG-style one, but
they just got a new CEO or something, didn't they? Didn't we report on that at one point?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was... Was it the CEO?
Somebody
from Nintendo of significance is stepping down.
I don't remember his name, and I feel awful that I don't, but he replaced Iwata when Iwata passed away.
Yeah.
And
he's stepping down. And now he's retiring.
Yeah. I don't know if they've had his successor take place yet, but...
I don't think that's happened yet, no. I think they're way... I can't remember.
I wonder if this has anything to do with that.
See, I'm cautious. I don't know what to think, because... After Metroid Federation Force, I thought the Metroid name was dead,
because
we had not heard anything in ages. Federation Force came out unexpectedly, and then everyone hated it. So I assumed they're going to look at that and go, no one wants Metroid, and do away with it. But then they announced Metroid Prime 4, so, like, clearly they're still trying with Metroid. So I feel like it's so equally possible with Paper Mario as well, that despite the last few having done bad,
They're gonna try again. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm optimistic for it, but I'm so focused cautious on Smash Brothers, I'm not even thinking about other games.
Why isn't Paper Mario in Smash?
Don't get me started.
No, you know what bugs me?
Thin edges.
Why is everyone wanting Geno in Smash?
I don't know, man.
Geno was this wooden puppet character from Super Mario RPG. The Mario RPG before Paper Mario.
Mm-hmm.
They had one prior, and it was just called Super Mario RPG, and one of the characters you had in it was this, guy called Geno. And he wasn't that interesting, in my opinion. And I don't understand why so many people think he's going to be included.
I have no idea.
He's character from the least popular Mario RPG.
Oh, that's not true. Mario RPG has a lot of fans. More than Sticker Star, anyway.
He likes to make these broad claims on this show.
I don't count Sticker Star, Color Splash, or Super Paper Mario as an RPG. Okay. I consider them an adventure game.
Okay, that's fair.
So, if you're looking at Paper Mario and Thousand-Year-Old Door and Super Mario RPG, I think RPG is the worst. At me.
Okay. Sure.
I will at you.
At me. What do you mean you will at me?
I'll at you.
You'll at me.
You just love to paint these broad strokes.
Yeah.
You paint with broad brushes.
What can I say? I'm a revolutionary.
That's not... Alright, cool.
Well, with that in mind, let's go to our end of day housekeeping. You can give us a review... I guess I shouldn't say we should be reviewed immediately after making a statement like that, huh?
Yeah, you don't think before you say things on
your
Your
opinions
day
are valid, and I agree with you entirely. While you're at
say
it, you
nice
should give
things
us,
about us.
Give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio.
Leave us a review, say nice things about me and about Luke, but go ahead and bash
Oh yeah,
all
say
you
bad
want.
Things about me. I'm ripped IRL.
Turn your location on, I just want to talk.
I love saying that to people in real life.
Oh yeah, he does. I think he said it to my sister once.
Us being reviewed well lets more people find us on like search things and board listings. You can follow our Twitter at Cozy Co-op Podcast, where we post when the podcast goes live, as well as the occasional funny joke. I have a label maker to show you later.
Oh boy!
Somebody made some fan art.
Oh my god!
It's a label maker,
huh?
Named Carrie.
Carrie the label guy.
Carry the label.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's sitting on my desk right now.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It got me. We have a Facebook under the same name. You can send us emails, business casual emails, at, I almost said the wrong email, cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. Thelizardrock.com is where we get our news from. I post news there Monday through Friday every morning. I didn't post one today because it's been a hectic day. Sorry about that, y'all.
And, is that it for you?
We have, if you want to find ways you can support the podcast, like buying a video game, you can read more about that at thelizardrock.com/support. And next week's episode will be...
We Happy Few.
We Happy Few.
Oh, nice.
It's making its official launch.
It releases
Friday,
the same day this podcast goes up, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So we're going to brush ourselves up on it and then talk about that next week.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to that. And,
me too.
And I just want to, as like a final thing, if you're a new listener to the podcast, if I'm the one who sent you here, thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. And I think that these guys do great work, so if you go through the list of podcast episodes, find an episode on a game you like, give it a listen, give a good review, all that stuff you just said, that would be super rad of you.
Yeah,
so.
I had this conversation with Brandon the other day, but, like, the best use of our podcast is, like, especially if you're someone like me who's either a casual gamer, doesn't know a lot about games, you can, you know, if your friends like a certain game, you can find that game in our listings and then listen to it. Maybe you'll have, you'll be able to at least, you know, get your foot in the door of that conversation and maybe get introduced to more stuff. It's kind of like a more casual...
Take some of our talking points, claim it as your own. You're allowed. We're creative.
Go ahead.
I know most of what I know about Stardew Valley from your pilot, so...
Oh, good. Yeah. Our first episode. Yeah, that's got multiplayer now, y'all. Hit me up.
Oh, yeah, that's official. It's not a beta thing anymore. It's coming to console soon.
One more time, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at DaThings, DaThings, or on YouTube at DaThings1, or Luke at This, depending on the level of professionalism you'd like in your YouTube content.
His Twitter is fun, too. I recommend following.
Thank you.
So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was fun having you. It was fun having a guest. Yeah,
well, if you're an old-time listener and you've been listening for a while, will you please tell us why you listened to...
Jade Empire.
It has 3 times as many views as all of our other podcasts. I don't know why Jade Empire
which
is so
I think
popular.
Is so funny, because of all the games that we've done, that's the one I'd never hear anyone talk about.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
Who's listening to Jade Empire?
I don't know. So, that's it for us this week. Today. I messed up my script. It for us today. Cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Co-op. Outro music! Yay!
Ah, cheesy. Nice.
We did it.
Nice and cheesy.
Awesome. That was a good one, you guys.
I had fun with that one, yeah.
You really kept us moving, Luke.
I try.
Oh, sweet air.
Yeah. It gets toasty in here after a point.
We're all talking and sweating.
Grab my shoes from in there.